Good morning. If you want to keep that page open, 1112, that will be good and useful as we go through this morning. It's lovely to have this opportunity to share. I didn't know Andy was going to say that, although there is a story about Cockscreen that might come out this morning. We shall see. But for those that don't know, I'm a member of this church. I first came here September 1983. So I've been coming here for a little while. I love it. It is wicked. And it's become a real supportive help for me. I work for Christian Connections in schools, and I visit schools around the area, like Cockscreen or Westgate or Beechwood or whatever. I'll go into any school that invites me. And at the heart of it, I go in and talk to children, young people and staff. Some of the most significant conversations I have in schools at the moment are with staff, head teachers, caretakers, etc. And I talk about some of the things that Jesus said and some of the things that Jesus did. So that's what I do, and I love it. And I'm going to share some thoughts from this amazing event in Acts chapter 16 with Paul and Silas on page 1112. So hopefully, get this working. Does it switch as it should, and then it will come, and that will be well good. And I find my Billy Doos. Yep, that's where we go. Somewhere. Let me tell you the story about Cockscreen. A few years ago, I was at Cockscreen School, which is in Maidenhead, and it was around Easter time, and I just said to the students there, I hope the last week of term goes well and you'll have a good Easter holiday. I said, it's Easter holiday and it's my wife's birthday. And this sixth former, he said, Wayne, what's more important, Easter or your wife's birthday? That's a good question, I thought. And I paused and I hesitated. And I said, so I rang Joyce. Joyce was at home. I said, Joyce, I'm at Common Room Chancellor Sixth Formers. I've been asked a question. What's more important, your birthday or Easter? What do you think Joyce said? She did. Wicked. And I put her on speakerphone. I know how to do that because I'm still learning how to use my phone. I put her on speakerphone. She said Easter. And it prompted me. And for me, and in this church, 2 weeks tomorrow, we are going to have some schools coming in. And we're going to be sharing about Easter, the greatest event in history. The last song that we're going to sing this morning, Andy mentioned it to me. And I thought, yeah, man, it is a tune. And it's about this, the cross. And we're referring to that. And it's empty. So just, anyway, I wasn't planning on saying that. But I did want to say that because of this. Ah, here it is. So I've got a question. This morning, we've had the word annoyed used a number of times. And I've been really annoyed over recent days. Different things have happened in school and out of school. I've been annoyed, frustrated, angry, feeling sorry for myself. And it's come through. And I love that little illustration that we did with that. He's an amazing dramatist, if that's the right word in what he does. And a question. I wonder if you've ever been annoyed, upset, betrayed, angry, frustrated. I guess for most of us here this morning, there have been times like that. But probably the single most important question that you or I will ever have to face is this one. What must I do to be saved? This morning, I would like to suggest that is the number one question. It's not, for example, I understand today that lots of parents and carers have been receiving letters or emails if they've got children in year six about what secondary school they've initially been allocated. And something like that can cause different fears and emotions. I know because I remember it from about 11 years ago. Or for some in the workplace making decisions about maybe going for a job or a promotion. Or for some it might be about what options to choose. Or for some it might be a very important question. What football team shall I follow? Actually, I better move on after what happened on Thursday. there is more to life than football. You do get it in the neck in schools. On Thursday, Friday, the schools I was in, everyone, Wayne, what happened to Arsenal? I just said, there is more to life. Because there is. Anyway, the most important question is this one. What must I do to be saved? So if you look at page 1112, Acts chapter 16, it was the last few words that was read to us in our reading. What must I do to be saved from the wrong things that we have done, that the Bible talks sin? And the reason why I'd like to suggest this morning that it is the most important question, because it is the only question that has eternal consequences. Because everything else is time limited. For example, today, 1st of March, as parents, carers have got this letter about their children, if they're in year six, about what secondary school they've been allocated. Usually, at the moment, you spend about 7 years at secondary school. That's relatively short. If you happen to be in employment, usually employment, well, actually it does change now with the retirement ages changes, but normally after about 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, you might have an opportunity to retire. But the decision about Jesus has eternal consequences, and it is. And that's why, even though I wasn't planning to share that story about Cox Green, that's why the most important decision that you and I can make is, what must I do to be saved? We need to be saved from the wrong things, the sin that separates us. Paul and Silas knew that. And Paul and Silas knew the ups and downs of following Jesus. Have you ever done anything wrong? Please don't answer that out. But the reality is, we have. And if we do something wrong, there are usually consequences. I've got a picture here. This is a picture of me when I was at primary school. You might just be able to pick me out. So when I was at primary school, I grew up in East London. And this picture's from the 1970s. I went back to this school last year. And it was lovely to be able to go in. And I contacted the current head teacher. And she said, yeah, do come along. And then they were all coming in. And they all sat on the floor. And then I had a chance to share a little bit. And I said, I used to come to this school. I left this school in 1976. That was the year of the hot summer. Some of you might remember that. It's also the year Southampton beat Man United in the FA Cup final. But there's more to life than football. But when I was at school, sadly, and I am not proud, sadly, I got caned. You're not allowed to do that these days, but they did then. I got caned, and I got caned twice. Because I was naughty, I deserved it. So if you do things wrong, there's punishment. Like today you talk about naughty step, or detention if it's school, or you might get a warning if it's a workplace, etc. And the guy who caned me, there he is. His name's Gordon Windsor. He was the head teacher. Randomly, he got in touch with me a couple of years ago. And we've been meeting up since. This picture was taken at McDonald's in Leytonstone, in East London. And we met up and we had a chat. And I said, Mr. Windsor, or Gordon, I think I'm allowed to call him Gordon now. I said, Mr. Windsor, do you remember caning me twice? And he said, no. And that did encourage me a little bit. And then he listed some other people that he does remember. The point is this. When I was at school, sadly, I was a little bit of a naughty boy. And I got punished. And I got caned. But with Paul and Silas, as Andy was alluding to earlier, they were doing nothing wrong. This is what they were doing. Where are they? They were going around in Acts chapter 8. And they were going around with letters. Letters of authority. That was going to give them permission. Sorry, this is Paul's story. So they would go around to people. There's one for you. There's one for you. There's one for you.
Thank you. I've got two.
Oh, you can pass one on. And that's what he's doing. He's just going around saying people who were followers of the way, which is a kind of description of people who loved Jesus and were following Jesus. And he said, yeah, I'd just like to give you. Yeah, there's one for you. There's one for you. So these are just plain envelopes, by the way. It's just an illustration. So I can take them back afterwards. And Paul, well, this is when he was known as Saul. One for you. No, actually, oh no, this one's got this one's got an address on. I was saying, anyway, one for you. I'll take them back at the end because I can probably use them. The point is this. Saul, he was a bully. He hated it. So I'm not going to come upstairs if that's okay. But if you really want an imaginary, yeah. But what happened was, Saul, before he met Jesus and was transformed on the road, and please do read about it, he was a bully. One of the schools that I visit, I've got this thing, it's from Burnham Grammar School. A few years ago, they do this Sixth Form Enterprise thing. I still do it now. And it says here, make bullying unacceptable. Beat bullying. And every time I think about bullying, which is sadly happening today in our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities, in our communities, in our homes, in our churches. Saul, it was a bully. He hated Christians. But anyway, when he was on this journey, giving out these letters or identifying people and saying, oi, out of it, he was met by a blinding light. His life was totally changed and transformed. And then his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And there are a number of people that Paul worked with. This Acts chapter 16 is with Silas. And they're going around. And they are sharing about Jesus. Because they want people to know about Jesus. It is the most important question. And then again, as Andy made reference to, what happened? Paul was annoyed with this woman who was saying some interesting things, but it was in an annoying way. So much so, in the name of Jesus, he dealt with that. But the people think, hang on a minute, our way of making money has now been taken. And verse 19, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. They brought them before the magistrates. They were then flogged, mocked, bullied, and then thrown into prison. Question. I wonder if any of you have ever been in a prison, either as a visitor or needing to be there. See, when I was at school, sadly, at my primary school, I was a little bit naughty, and I deserved punishment. On Friday evening, I met someone. His name's Shane. Never met him before. Shane Taylor. If you're interested, go on the Alpha website and type in Shane Taylor, and you will hear his story. He wrote this book, The True Story of One of the Most Dangerous Men in Britain's Prisons. It's an amazing testimony. I've only got it on Friday. I've not read it. If anyone wants to borrow it, I'm happy to lend it out. But here's someone who did deserve the punishment. Now, as an illustration and an example, what I did was bad and wrong and naughty 40-odd years ago, and I got caned. What Shane did was far worse, if we want to compare it. He attempted twice murder, and he was in prison. Yet now, Shane, his life has been changed. He's met Jesus. He goes around talking about Jesus. He goes into the prison where he nearly killed somebody. And he has met the person, the prison officer, that he tried to kill. It's a transformation. And so whilst most of us probably can't identify with Paul in what's going on here, Paul and Silas, someone like Shane, who's current, who was just up the road, I saw him, met him, heard his story, amazed. But the same thing is, whoever we are this morning, we have done something wrong. We are separated from Jesus. We need to be saved. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Pause there for a moment. If you or I were in that situation, annoyed, hadn't done anything wrong, and if you read more around the detail, Paul and Silas actually hadn't done anything wrong, and they shouldn't have been flogged and fastened, etc. And it's horrible what had happened. But what they were doing, as was again illustrated earlier, by Isaac, they were praising. They were singing. They were worshipping in prison at midnight. I'm always hit when I read that verse. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. I wonder what the other prisoners made of these two maybe apparent nutters worshipping God. And also another rhetorical question. If you or I were in that situation, what would you be doing? What would I be doing? What would we be singing? 30 seconds, if you're happy to. I'd like you to either think or chat to the person that you're sat next to. If you were in that situation, like Paul and Silas, what, if, and you had a choice to sing any song that you knew, what would you, might you be singing and why? Just chat to your neighbour for 30 seconds and then we'll pick it up from there. Go. What would you sing? Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm always moved. Okay, so now you'll need to excuse me about this next bit. So I don't know what you've been talking about. You can carry that old conversation around at coffee time. I'm guessing, well, no, I've made it, Paul and Silas were probably singing this.
Show is hot out here. Girl, I don't mind though. Just glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
What you wanna do?
I just wanna praise you.
Yeah, yeah.
You both are there and I can't get my hands.
Feel me?
And I'm gonna praise you.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna praise you.
In the corners of my mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe that I can break free. Cause you see, I have been down for so long. Feel like all hope is gone. But as I lift my hands, I understand that I should praise you through my circumstance. Much pressure fell on me. I thought I was gonna lose my mind. But I know you wanna see if I will hold on through these trials. But I need you to lift this load, cause I can't take it no more.
I
can
shackle on my feet so I can dance.
So I can dance.
I just wanna praise you.
Woo, woo, woo.
I just wanna praise you.
Is a tune. Busting my dance moves to that back in the day. Now that's a song by Mary Mary. Apparently, I didn't realize, Laura was saying earlier, they were at Big Church Day Out a few years back. And when they were interviewed, I can't remember what year the song came out, but when I first came across that song, I love it when there's a song that gets released and it gets into the chart and people are playing it and singing it. And I, because I've used this song in schools, and I said, yeah, it's based on. Now, it might not actually be based on Acts 16, but they said that they were inspired by it. And obviously Paul and Silas were probably not singing this song for obvious reasons. But some of the lyrics, a guy called Ben Rolfe, who some of you will know, he put that together many years back, popped it onto my laptop, and I've used it. And it just connects, and it just ties in. And Paul and Silas were worshipping, were praising. At midnight, I'm usually asleep, unless I'm at a school prom, busting my dance moves. But, you know, I'm asleep. But Paul and Silas, I think it says, They were singing hymns to God, singing the shackle song. And the other prisoners were listening. And the point of that is, part of what we do as followers of Jesus has an impact on family, on friends, on neighbours, on people in our schools or colleges. They see how we react, how we respond. I talked earlier about being annoyed and frustrated. One of the things has been when I've been in schools, when one of the schools that I visit, won't mention it for obvious reasons, and a teacher was a little bit upset because I was talking a bit about Jesus in this session I do called Exam Attack. I was thinking, hang on a minute, I'm a visitor to your school. And I was annoyed and I was frustrated. I mean, I'm still going back there. But sometimes you think, that's just not fair. One of the things I've written down here, that's not fair, a phrase that not just children use. I use it. But there's something that we can learn about Paul and Silas. And our theme for today is worship in trouble, if it was on the first slide. Because there will be times, there are times today, for some of us, maybe many of us here, who are facing pain and difficulty and hardship and worry and concern and bereavement and redundancy or the fear of it, or parents or children. So many things, a lot of bad stuff is going on in our community. I didn't bring it with me, but one of the pages of the Slough Express this week, sadly, another young person stabbed. There's been a number of those. That's why the calls for the month. That's why this switch-up thing. And interesting, I went to Westgate School on Wednesday, and the teacher there, she said, yeah, we are really interested in this. This morning I got another email from another senior teacher. Yes, please, can we have this switch-up thing? On Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm going to Newlands. They're doing a drama thing on knife crime. Last Tuesday, I was in Harrow, and they had a Christian policeman, been in the service for 27 years, doing a presentation to about 50 people about some of the issues. There's so much bad stuff. And the question that I'm asked most, as a visitor in schools, is why is there so much suffering? And I really struggle with that question. And when I think of this passage, and Paul and Silas, they weren't doing anything wrong, but they got stick. And later on, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 27, there are a number of things that he lists about him being whipped and shipwrecked and flogged 40 times minus one, for whatever the reason of doing that, and so on. And the reality is that if you are a Christian here this morning, there will be trouble. There will be hardship. There will be difficulty. There will be big questions. Personally, I would rather it wasn't the case, but the reality is, it is. So what do we do? What can we learn from Paul and Silas? Well, maybe we can learn what they did. That they still had their focus on Jesus. What's your focus? What's my focus? That can help us. It will not take away the pain of a bereavement, of a lost child, of a broken friendship, of a bad word. But I believe, based on things like this, or that if the question that I, when I'm asked this question in schools about suffering, I say three things. One, if they're happy to and if they're interested, read the book of Job. Maybe not all of it, take a while, but maybe the first two or three chapters and the last two or three chapters. Then I'll say, look at the character of Saul or Paul and 2 Corinthians. And then I'll say, actually, if it's the easiest thing, let's just cut to the chase. Look at Jesus. Jesus never did anything wrong. And yet he knew insult, persecution, suffering, pain. And that helps me. So when life is a bit tough and when I am annoyed with things that are happening in society, in school, in families, that does help me. That's not fair, is the phrase. And when that song by Mary Mary came out a number of years or so ago, based on this, they said the shackles came off. And that's what I believe can happen. And so when we are in times of trouble, if we are able to, we need to be real and honest and can't just say praise the Lord anyway. Got to acknowledge and say, I'm really struggling with this. but knowing that God can be with us. The chains fell off. And notice what happened about the jailer. The jailer was worried. He thought, oh no, I'm going to be... And he was reassured by Paul. It's okay, we're all here. And then there's a lovely bit that we didn't go into about what happened next. They had some food, had some fellowship, had some lives changed, baptism. The reason why I've got this out this morning is this. A few weeks ago, I can't remember when it was, people were asked, if you were here, you'll remember it. We were asked to think about people whom we know who don't yet know Jesus. And a number of us came and wrote names. I'm not going to read out any of the names on here, so you might remember the name if you did it, what you wrote. But I will going to read just one thing, because it's somewhere it's got on here, family, my family. And I guess that would be probably the case for most of us, that we long for people whom we know, whom we love, might be children, might be parents, might be cousins, they might be near, they might be far, but they don't yet know Jesus, and we know Jesus. And that is a prompt and a reminder. And I was really moved on that Sunday when I was here, and that was made reference to. And I thought about some people whom I know that I would long to see to know Jesus. If it's appropriate, it will be there at the end of the service. Come and scribble a name then. That doesn't matter. Or just think. Because that's the difference. That's what we need to be doing. It's not just about those of us who are Christians say, yeah, I'm all right. Like Paul and Silas, I'm all right. I'm going to heaven. But what about those who don't know Jesus, whom we know in this community? The phrase that we have in CCIS is making Jesus known to children and to young people and to staff in schools, because children, young people and staff, most, do not know Jesus. And my hope and prayer is when I go into school, so tomorrow when I go to Oakfield, which is the first school in Windsor, I'm a bit scared actually, because I call them ankle biters. Because they're so small. I much prefer the sixth formers. I mean, that's another challenge. But tomorrow I've got year one, year two, year three, year four. Please, Lord, help me as I go in. And they come to the front and I'm going to try and share with them and the teachers. And then I can't remember what school I'm after that. Oh, then I'm here. We've got a run-through for our Easter presentation. But please, it's really important that we do that, that we're moved and we're motivated, because we can get complacent. You know, I've been a Christian 40 years, and it is quite easy just think, oh, well, I'm all right, Jack. But what about those who don't know Jesus? At the beginning, I said, what's the most important question? It is, what must I do to be saved? And what we need to do to be saved is to know Jesus, the power of his cross, the resurrection story. The cross is empty, as will be exemplified when we sing the last song. That's my hope. That's my prayer. Don't be like the thief on the cross I've got here. What I'm meaning by that is this. There were two thieves on the cross, but one of them responded to Jesus. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But unfortunately for that thief, he didn't have an opportunity to go to a Bible study, to go to CBSI, to go to anything. He was about to die. But Shane, and that's why I use this book, I think he's about 40 now, and for the last 11 years, he's been going around to prisons. And when he shared his story on Friday evening, I was so moved. He was moved, and he shared it many times as tears came. And especially what a very powerful illustration that he gave. And he goes around the country now, under the umbrella of Alpha, sharing his story. He was hated by... He was bad. He attempted murder twice. He did his time in prison, but now he loves Jesus. And he's so moved and motivated to do that. How moved, how motivated are you this morning to make Jesus known? That's assuming that if you do know Jesus. But if you're here this morning visiting, or you've been coming here for 30 years, but you don't know Jesus, then can I encourage you to consider? And there are things that you can do. There is still on a Thursday night an Alpha course. I mentioned about Shane. At Weatherspoons, just around there. It's probably halfway through, but I'm sure that you'd still be allowed to go along if you wanted to. This Thursday, 7:30. If you want to know more, have a chat with Andy or Alan. I think Alan, yeah. And if not, that doesn't work, another time. That's one thing to do this week. Another thing is that talk to someone. Andy or one of the leaders here. We've got our elders here, like John and John, or others with a badge. Chat with me. Because it's the most important decision. Read the Bible. And the book I would encourage you to read, the Gospel, is Mark. The reason why I say Mark is action-packed, and it's the shortest of the four. Read it. Or if you like listening to stuff and you've got access to things like YouTube, just find out. It's really important. If you don't know Jesus, that's the most important thing, because it has eternal consequences. Don't be like the thief on the cross. And then this time tomorrow, 25 to 12, wherever you might be, at home, in the workplace, at school, at college, if you know Jesus and it's appropriate, how would you share Jesus with others? That's what we're called to do. It's not just about us here in the four walls. So moved by what Laura shared last week when the persecuted church. Generally speaking, we have it all. I get annoyed in school sometimes when teachers and pupils give me a bit of stick because I'm talking about Jesus. You know, you can't be talking about Jesus in our society today. What about all the other faiths, etc., etc.? Yep. I've got respect for people of other faiths or no faiths. But if I've been invited into a school to talk about Jesus, I'd like to be able to have the opportunity. And I really get annoyed up when sometimes people are giving me stick. But John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm going to finish off with prayer, and then hand back to Andy. Let's pray. Father, my prayer is, if there's anyone here who hasn't responded to what must I do to be saved, that you would speak to them and they would be moved to maybe come to Alpha or Christianity Explored, or to talk to someone whom they know here, or to read your word. It is the most important decision, knowing that we can be free. We can know you and look forward to eternity with you. And finally, Father, I pray for the majority of us here who do know you, are followers of you for 1 week or many years. But there are times when we get frustrated, annoyed, angry. Times when we face pain and suffering and hurt, rejection, bereavement, redundancy, the loss of a child. So many things, the world that's going on around us, the stabbings that are going on in our community, the gang warfare, the county lines, and so on. Lord, would you help us in those times of trouble to be able to focus on you? Help us to be able to help each other. And thank you that you promise to be with us. You don't promise to take away those things I have just said, but you promise to be with us. And I pray that as we continue in our worship this morning, that you would speak, that you would challenge, and that you would change lives. Amen.